That is music of David Baker, who was head of the jazz department at Indiana University in the late 60s, early 70s, when he composed that sonata for cello and piano, which we just heard the second movement called Blues, as performed by his friend and colleague Janos Starker and Alain Planes, starting off an hour of music and conversation today on Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Right now, I'd like to welcome the president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Dara Strauss, and longtime member Madeline Cimini to the airwaves once again. Very nice to talk to you and have another touch base once again on the Film Society's activity. It's now January. We're in a brand new year. And I noticed there's a little note in the Film Society members' email that you've actually extended membership to anyone who joined or paid for their membership in 2020. It now is extended through the next year.
That's right. We thought it's the only sensible thing to do with the theater being closed in and out. And we just thought, give our members a break and extend their membership.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me, I haven't paid, I've been a little confused as theaters closed and opened and closed and opened. What is the current status of going to see a movie?
Well, I'll let Madeline talk about the experience, but Celebration is now open from Thursday through Sundays. You cannot, if I understand right, you can't have anything to eat or drink. But Madeline was recently there, so maybe she can mention the experience.
Actually, I was there a week ago Saturday. I saw One Night in Miami, the film that we'll be discussing. The second day it played, and I had seen three movies earlier in the year. Celebration Cinema follows CinemaSafe protocol. As Dara said, there are no concessions because then it would be a restaurant. Seating is limited. Showtimes are staggered, so there aren't a bunch of people in the lobby. Mm. I've always felt comfortable. And when I saw One Night in Miami on Saturday evening, it was in one of the larger theaters at Celebration Cinema, and there were only 8 to 10 people. That's watching, which is safe but sad.
I know. Yeah, I mean, you feel personally like, wow, I'm quite secure. I'm not going to be exposed under these conditions. But you know, seeing a movie with a crowd, there's nothing like it.
Exactly, and especially a movie like this. But at least there were people there, and the movie is playing the rest of the week, and I think it will continue on, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Well, we're going to do our best to share some of the things that really stood out about this movie in our discussion, but we should first of all tell folks that there will be a more extended discussion that anyone can participate in or even just watch and listen to in another virtual lobby discussion that the Society is holding, and it's this Thursday at 7 o'clock.
That's right, and you can get the link just by emailing us at calfilmsociety@yahoo.com, and we'll send you the link. I also want to mention that it's viewable over Amazon Prime, which is how I saw it, and I believe probably you saw it that way, Kara, too.
Yeah, I do.
So that's we've tried to recently get films for the virtual lobby that both are showing in the theater and also can be streamed at home. So however our members feel comfortable accessing the film. So we want everyone that wants to participate in our discussion to have access to the film.
Well, I for one appreciate that. I think it's very thoughtful. And it seems like it follows a mission of trying to engage people through film as best you can, even if you can't or are a little nervous about going back to the theater.
Right. That's our thought. So, and we've had great discussions. So So even we're thinking, even when we're totally back in the theater, we might continue doing these virtual lobbies because it does give us a chance to connect with members and not members, but to discuss film in quite detail and get different points of view and different observations that various people have about a film. And I know I always come away with more insights and from the thoughtful comments that are there.
Yeah, yeah. Before we preview this film for folks, I think we should put the big news about the other way you're reaching film fans and or filmmakers, a new announcement that the Film Society has. And I'll let you take that for us, Dara.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kara. Yeah, we are really excited that we are announcing a grant. The mission of the Film Society is to support and encourage a vibrant cinematic community in Southwest Michigan. And over our more than 30 years in the community, we have informally supported local filmmakers and organizations. But the board has recently decided to make this a more formal process. So we came up with the idea to award a $1,000 grant to local filmmakers to be used for pre-production, production, post-production, or completion of a film project. The application deadline is May 1st of 2021. It is just for local artists in the Southwest Michigan area. All the details are on our website, which is calfilmsociety.net. So you can get more details. But we decided to make this application formalized because we wanted to kind of extend it to everyone who might be interested and to get our name out there, too. But we also we tried to make the application not too complicated, but complicated enough that people have to verbalize what it is that they are trying to do. And to me, I think it also helps them kind of center down on what they need the money for and on their project. But we're, again, very excited to announce this $1,000 grant for filmmakers.
That's terrific. You, of all people, know what it takes to make a film as well. There was a guest once that you brought along to the studio. Was it Kelly Wittenberg?
Yes, Kelly. Uh-huh.
She is a member of the society and also a filmmaker, who has an award-winning filmmaker. And I could see, I can almost connect the dots here that members of the society kind of, as filmmakers and film lovers, trying to find the best way to support regional filmmaking.
Right, that's totally true. I've applied for several grants, and I know it's been very, very helpful for me as a filmmaker to finish a project or actually to engage in projects. So we just kind of wanted to extend that even more formally to filmmakers in the area.
Did you put any limits on it, like an age limit or?
Yeah, that's all detailed in there. You have to be 18 years old. You have to be a member of our society. You can only receive one grant per year. We want a concise description of the project, timelines and budget. And, of course, how the money will be used. We a resume of the applicant. And then, of course, we want to be acknowledged in the film, too. So in the ending credits, we want our logo up there. but like I said, you can get all the details on our website. And you can download a PDF at that on the website, too.
That's calfilmsociety.net, and I'm speaking with the president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Dara Strauss, and longtime member Madeline Cimini, who a week ago last Saturday was in the theater to see One Night in Miami. Dara and I both watched it through the Amazon Prime service, and a lot of people are talking about it. It's been, I mean, it's been really well reviewed, Dara. And maybe you could introduce the director and some of her achievements.
I think Madeline, do you want to? You want me to?
Oh, I can do it. Yes. I don't want to be too cute by half, but I thought this movie was a knockout. It is the first time directing by Regina King, who's a wonderful, wonderful actress. And it is based on a play written by Kemp Bowers. And it's a fictional story, but it's based on an actual event. So it's not a documentary. So there is some creative license. But these four men did get together on this night in Miami, and they were there to watch and then hopefully celebrate Cassius Clay's boxing victory over Sonny Liston. His other friends were Sam Cooke, the singer, Jim Brown, the football player, and Malcolm X, the Muslim prophet. And what's interesting is they were all going through pivotal points in their life. Cassius Clay was thinking about and planning to change his name from Cassius Marcellus Clay to Muhammad Ali under the mentorship of Malcolm X. Malcolm X was thinking of breaking with Elijah Muhammad. Jim Brown, the third friend, was a football player who was starting an acting career. And Sam Cooke was a very popular singer and songwriter and businessman. And they came together to, as I said, watch the boxing match and then celebrate. Much of the film takes place in a kind of dingy hotel room. And what I loved about it is the friendship and honesty. And the honesty that comes only out of friendship, casual people won't always tell you the truth, and sometimes the hard truth, but they're very, very honest with one another. You see their lives in flashback, so you see how they got to the place that they were. As I said, it's based on a play, but it's never static because of the use of the flashbacks. And Kemp Powers, who wrote it, what 2020, as awful as it was for most of us, what a wonderful year he had. This film was released, and he also co-directed and screenwrote the Pixar film Soul about jazz. And again, I think it was just a very, very, very good movie. The acting is terrific. Again, it's not a documentary, so there is some creative license. But the truth of their relationship came out.
Yeah.
And what was sad for me was within a year after this event took place, this night in Miami, Malcolm X was dead and Sam Cooke was dead. They were both murdered. Malcolm X probably with followers of Elijah Muhammad. Still don't know the truth about that. And Sam Cooke was murdered in a hotel. But just again, I think it's also relevant to things that are going on today. Yesterday was Muhammad Ali's birthday, and both Showtime and HBO had programs, shows on. And one was called Muhammad Ali, I Am the Greatest of All Time. Mm-hmm. And it was an event that I'd forgotten. Muhammad Ali saw that a man was standing on a ledge and he wanted to jump. Muhammad Ali drove and talked that man down. it's only a 30-minute film. But again, you see the character of this person. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He's still full of himself. He's witty.
He's 22.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that is part of his story when he's trying to talk this young man down as well. It's forgotten a lot about him. And, you know, he lived in Barry and Springs for quite some time.
Yeah, Michigan.
So there is a Southwest Michigan connection to him. But the relevance, the skill that Regina King brought. So now we have Regina King, first-time director, Viola Davis, a wonderful actor. Her first directing is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The future is just so exciting for filmmaking.
Again, let me remind our listeners that we are speaking about One Night in Miami, which was directed by Regina King from a play by Kemp Powers and is currently showing at Celebration Cinema, which is open Thursday through Sunday. And details on that can be found at calfilmsociety.net. There will be a virtual lobby discussion for anyone who wants to talk about this film at 7 o'clock on Thursday through Zoom. You'll have to contact the Film Society and receive a link that way. Dara, you were going to add to that.
Yeah, I was just going to add about Regina King. We all know that this is her first director role, and she was also the first film by a Black director selected by the Venice Film Festival. So that's an incredible achievement for her with this film. And like Madeline said, you get a really good sense of that these are real people. They're not, I mean, they are very famous people, but you get a sense from this film of their character. And I love how she has the characters. It's not just in the hotel room, but some they go out onto the roof of the hotel. They go, they divide up into twos, and they have conversations that way. So even though it is, it feels like a play, and there's a lot of dialogue, but it's wonderful dialogue. One of my favorite lines in it is by Sam Cooke, the character, who says, "I don't want a piece of the pie. I want the recipe." And maybe because I like to cook, I don't know. I love that line when he talks about his endeavors in business.
I know. There was so much included, sort of slipped in through the dialogue about how significant their careers were, that I was like, I didn't know it, or I was reminded and was just blown away by, you know, the individuality, the self-determination that these men used in their careers, and in a pivotal point in this play. So there's conflict. And you know who brings the conflict? That would be Malcolm. Who, if you know, if you ever get invited to a party by Malcolm X, do not expect a party.
That's right.
Well, yeah. And how pivotal the time was when you think at that time there were singers and songwriters and musicians who basically got nothing. Sam Cooke, Aretha Franklin, not just a singer, songwriter, musician, and Black, but a woman who was her own manager. And that was unknown at the time. And hearing that line, there's humor in it. There's also pathos, but it's the humanity. These very, very famous icons in their areas. You know, one still couldn't go into the home of a white person. That to me was almost like a slap on my face when I heard that line, and I won't spoil it for people. They made reference to the Green Book, that up until the late 60s, Black people couldn't drive in certain areas. They couldn't get hotels or motels. But she did an amazing job, and the acting on this is just so top-notch. They inhibit their characters, but they're not caricatures of them. So, again, this was a knockout to me. It's a wonderful way to start the year, that's for sure. A wonderful way to start the year.
Yeah, and to be discussing this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day is just wonderful to me. But we do want to invite everyone to join our virtual lobby on this Thursday, January 21st at 7 p.m. As we said, we can see it at Celebration, but you can also stream it through Amazon Prime. It's a little under 2 hours, and it's a wonderful feast.
It goes quickly. I also noted, Madeline, as you did, that it's not static, and which you can get when a film director adapts a play where they're all stuck in one room and fighting with each other and talking. I so noticed how it got it got closed in and then opened up and then closed back in and opened up. And so creatively did Regina King, keep the dialogue going, but turned it into a real film, not a static set piece on a stage.
Exactly. There was flow, and it all made sense. You know, it she crafted it, but it wasn't that you saw, oh, now it's going to go here or this. I just thought it was a masterful piece of work on her part. And again, the actors, Aldous Hodge, who portrayed Jim Beam, I just thought, oh my God, that man is so swoon worthy. I was kind of embarrassed there. they resemble the characters, but they're not caricatures. But you see their hearts. And that to me is what acting is all about, and what going to a film or watching one on television as well. But this was, again, what a great way to start the year.
I would like to ask a philosophical question to same to each of you on this MLK Day. Do you think that film can change society, or does it simply serve to reflect society?
May I jump in?
Go for it.
Well, you know, I don't know film, but image can. In the 60s, the film of dogs and fire hoses being leashed on protesters. The Vietnam War, you know, that was the first television war. And I think films like this can help open people's eyes. I think sometimes if films can be preachy, and this one is not. This is just telling the story of what, you know, probably happened. Maybe not all of the exact same words, but what happened with these people at this time. And my hope is that certainly documentaries can open eyes, but I think film can as well. It can open eyes, but it can change minds or hearts. That I don't know. I think some of the film we saw this past week and a half can.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a different kind of film.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything to add to that, Dara?
No, that was beautifully said, Madeline. I just, I guess I'm a little more optimistic. I think it can change, maybe not society, but individuals to reflect onto their own life experience, but maybe on other people's life experiences. And I know when the TV show Roots came out, the series, and I was working as in the accounting department in a bank, and you know, we would talk about things that we saw the night before, and I remember the women talking about watching Roots and saying they had no idea of the horrors of slavery. And I think that opened, I mean, all of our eyes to saying so. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's incremental changes, but I think it can happen.
And why don't we leave it there? But I'd like to tell folks once again that the Kalamazoo Film Society the calfilmsociety.net is where you can find all the information. And there is, and they've just opened up a new resource for filmmakers in this region with a $1,000 grant that is newly available, and you can apply at calfilmsociety.net. Final thoughts, Dara?
No, thank you. Dara, it's always great to be on your show. You always make it so easy, and you're so thoughtful. Thank you.
Madeline?
I agree. And to your comment about Martin Luther King Day, go out and do an act of kindness, no matter how small, okay, in his honor. And then you honor all of us. And it just starts with one person.
Well, Dara Strauss and Madeline Cimini, until next time. Thank you so much for joining me today. One Night in Miami is the film discussion on Thursday at 7 o'clock, a Zoom meeting called Virtual Lobby Discussion. And I hope to see you there.
Great. Thank you, Kara.
No, thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, we're going to move on with music from a brand new violin concerto by none other than the great jazz trumpeter and composer Wynton Marsalis. This is just released in the last year. Nicola Benedetti is the soloist. It begins with a rhapsody. Here's Nicola Benedetti, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and Christian Macellaru.